We are live.
Yeah, we're live. Why not? Let's just get right into it. It's Sports Beat Wrestling. I am Kev Kellum. Some folks joining us on Instagram. Some folks joining us over on the YouTubes and the Facebook. Rings and Rambles is every single week on Monday afternoons. For the folks on Instagram, I wanted to include you in this breaking news that kind of came out just within the last 30 minutes. A major injury to one of the biggest names in pro wrestling. We'll talk about that. Also on Rings and Rambles, for the folks over on Instagram who are only going to be with us here for the first few minutes, jump over to our live streams. They're over on our YouTube channel, and they are on our Facebook channels as well, so go check that out. We're all there. A lot to cover today about Rhea Ripley. Some very unfortunate news about her. We'll also talk about the backlash over what happened with AEW last week and how that's been developing since, and how that develops to a pay-per-view they have this weekend. So a lot to get into. Oh, I'm popping up a screen there for you, Nick.
Sorry.
We'll get into it. I'm Kev Kellum. Nick Harkson is with me as well. I can see that he joined me over on Instagram. How you doing? I'll wave to you. There you go. So a lot to cover on this show. People already on Instagram saying mommy can't be injured, all these different things. Want to hear from everyone who's joining us over on Facebook and YouTube. Yes, breaking news we're getting here today from PWI Insider that at some point last week, an injury came down for Rhea Ripley. Now, Rhea Ripley is easily one of the top 10 most popular names in wrestling right now. She has been the women's champion for WWE since WrestleMania 39 and has been one of the most popular names in wrestling for the better part of the last few years. Came up in the ranks here, but you know, she had injury issues at the title win phase of her career in WrestleMania coming out of LA, and they gave her light duty. I know some people said that kind of like hindered her title reign, but they had her on TV so much with the Judgment Day. Nick, what do you think of this, man?
You know, it's very unfortunate because she has been so over with the crowd and just the wrestling world and, you know, casuals, just people who don't tune in every week know mommy. And so this is very unfortunate for her as she's had a great title run. And like you said, she's already been battling through injuries. So to have this happen and now it looks like it's going to put her out for a good amount of time. You know, I just feel for her right now because like she's so over with the crowd. It's crazy.
And I'll acknowledge the part of the audience that gets really simpy about this and it just verges on just obsession and things like that. I have to call that part of the audience out. Calm down. People saying stop blaming Liv. It was an accident. It was an angle. People do things backstage.
Yeah.
Outside of the ring, and it's no different than that. I love how people are, if people mark out about it being like Liv Morgan attacked her last week on Monday Raw. It was a pretty brutal attack, by the way. And Liv Morgan, by the way, was injured by Ripley and put on the shelf by her in the summer of 2023. Well, a lot of people thought things were going to be big for her. So even if that's kayfabe, that's still just like, okay. But the issue is she may have to relinquish the world title here, the women's championship. What do you think happens there? I want to hear from you guys on Instagram as well. I'm going to pop off there for you guys on Instagram. I'm looking over at another camera here. You can jump over to our conversation is going on right now. Sports Key to Wrestling YouTube channel. If you're just watching the live stream on Instagram, let us know what you guys think as well. Thanks so much. I want to hop out of there. But what do you think here? Who takes this belt?
You know, it could go, technical difficulties. It could go a few different ways, but I hope that they do, you know, a tournament. They probably will if it is a vacated title. Mm-hmm. You know, Becky Lynch was looking strong there at WrestleMania. Bianca Belair, I know she's over on SmackDown, but could come over and maybe look strong once again, get a title around her waist once again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this just makes things more interesting. Liv is on her revenge tour. Maybe she picks it up, and then when Rhea Ripley comes back, it sets up for a match there. But, you know, they could go a lot of different ways here. I do like Becky Lynch. She was looking strong there at the end, and she's proven she can hold the title. But there is, you know, she might be stepping away for a little bit of time just to relax is what I've heard on the internets. But, you know, it's just, like I said, unfortunate for Rhea Ripley. We had the question last week, who could take the title off her? Well, it looks like only mommy can take the title off of mommy.
Well, I mean, technically not the truth because she got injured.
That's true.
You can kayfabe this, and you had Liv Morgan on a revenge tour. You know, this was a big revenge tour. Like, everyone's going to get it because I didn't get what I think I deserved, and you had that chip on the shoulder. And that was, and she's been playing in the background. She was a healthy scratch this year from WrestleMania. I think that gets under a lot of people's skin when you're a healthy scratch from WrestleMania. So we'll get to it. We have other stories. We'll talk about Cody and The Rock. We'll talk about the backstage issue with AEW. If you're with us for the first time, don't make it the last time. I want to get as many of your comments on screen. John Ross, is she going to be stripped of the title? It depends on how severe this injury is. We're hearing, not great things right now. So that backstage segment with her and Liv was pretty violent, involved a chair. No details on the severity of the injury are known at this time, but enough where the reports here are saying that there's a possibility she may be stripped of this title because she nearly started this world title reign, as we mentioned earlier, injury, multiple ones, healed up around them when they went up to Saudi Arabia, one of her first major title defenses against Natalya. A lot of people noticed in that match that she only had like a 90-second match, and people were upset about that. And there were some matches in there that people said, oh, this isn't as big of a match. I wonder if the injuries are becoming an issue because they've been using her a lot in talking segments.
Yeah.
But she was also working house shows in the past couple months as well. So I wonder how severe this injury is or if this is something that just simply piled up after time. She went into WrestleMania with a broken wrist. Not like a broken wrist, but it was a sprain, and she worked around that, and that was something she acknowledged.
Yeah.
But she didn't make it seem like it was a big deal, like it was an air cast. She said it's something I can take on and off. It's not like a hard cast. And it may be something where maybe that was the issue, and they knew that was going to be bad enough. All right, I think I can get through WrestleMania with this and right. Do the big payday match, which is Mania is one of the biggest matches you can have in your career. If you can stack those up, you want them. So let's get to more questions here. Josh Madlock, I want to get to this one here if I can, to work with me here. And it does it. Gotta love it. If mommy is hurt, then fine, but should not vacate those. She'll be back in a couple months. No, if she's not in action for a couple months, vacate the title. I don't know what favors that does for it. If you're just a blind fan of a specific wrestler and you just don't want to see them lose a title, then you're not paying attention to that being fair to everyone else. Also, I don't want to see WWE do the interim champion thing. That was right. A mess in AEW. I don't think it'd be ideal for them to do that as well.
Yeah.
And people saying to hell with it. Put title on Chelsea Green. Chelsea got laid out last week by Jade Cargill. So I don't know if that's going to happen. People just saying, mommy, no. So slam the like button if you're with us for the first time. If you're enjoying the conversation, you want to get your stuff on screen, go ahead and comment. If you're with us for the first time, I know a lot of people are tuning here for the first time. Let us know what you think. Carrie Carpenter saying Becky Lynch should be the champion. Well, Becky Lynch lost clean to Rhea Ripley. I think you kind of need to reboot her and do some fresh things. And she's been in and out of the title program for a while. I don't think WWE needs to be chasing a title. They need more. Like the feud that she had with Trish Stratus was interesting because it wasn't just about a title. True. It wasn't. And they got away from that, and they started with the tag belts and stuff like that. Oh, this is a deep cut. People think Piper Niven will be the next champ at Clash of the Castle. That'll be interesting. That's maybe coming up here. People saying, are we thinking it's a concussion? We have no idea what the injury is. We have no idea what the injury is. But she was going into WrestleMania with that wrist injury, and she was saying it. It was obvious. Hey, I'm a huge fan of you both. But do you think you can turn Rhea and Liv a work because Seth didn't have to vacate the championship? That is an interesting situation. Seth had that knee injury, but it did. I mean, if the injury isn't severe, and it's like, all right, you're going to be out of action a few weeks. We can put you on camera with a few vignettes and different things and get to a match. Then I think you're all right with it. But if you don't know how long this injury is going to be, or it's a severe injury that's going to require surgery and rehab and a couple months on the shelf, then, with Seth, I get the exception of it. He had that knee injury in what, January? And he was able to work WrestleMania, but now he's back on the shelf too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they could work that way. Rhea did. She was hurt earlier when she first got the title. She held it down pretty well then. She was on TV a lot, like we mentioned. So if it's not that severe, I could definitely see her keeping the title on there. But, it seems like it's got to be a pretty bad injury if they're talking about vacating the title, because that's the only way you're going to vacate the title. If it's something serious, like you said, surgery or, concussion that might last a little bit longer than what they're expecting. But yeah, seeing some good answers over here. Jade could hold down the title. She's looking strong. And I see Nia Jax over there as well. Nia Jax would be someone who could really be a strong champion and a heel champion at the time as well. Mm-hmm. Which I would like to see, but yeah, it's looking like a pretty serious injury if they're discussing vacating the title.
This one from Silky Walker saying Tiffany Stratton should be the next champion. Tiffany Stratton is a recent call-up. She's less than a few months on the main roster. She did Elimination Chamber shine really brightly there. She was a big star in NXT. She was the women's champion there as well. And a lot of people saying Strat, people want to see a new champion. They want to see somebody new get the title. And with Tiffany, I think it might be a little bit too soon. Yeah. With Jade Cargill, I think it might be a little bit too soon. For me, the crowd loves Rhea Ripley, but obviously Liv Morgan has the moral compass within wrestling to win this title and get it back. Yeah. Oddly enough, the person who I was injured by you, I should get revenge on you. But the people don't want the person who did, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of who they like, who the audience likes. People respect Becky Lynch, but they were rooting for Rhea Ripley. So that's why I think a lot of people care about this character. They are really into it. If only there was a women's Money in the Bank contract that could easily solve this issue. Well, it's already been cashed out. So there just isn't one active. Right. Like how people bring that up, they took that away. No, you're just not paying attention. They don't have one currently that is out there that people can cash in. Here we go. Kerry Carpenter bringing up the old school rules. They should go back to the old days where if a champ cannot defend a title once every 30 days, or they will be stripped of the championship. Jim Thorne saying Naomi would make a great champion. I agree. Naomi would make a great champion. So a lot of chitter chatter about this here. And a lot of people with different take for this here. People also saying we have the Queen of the Ring tournament coming up. This is going to be in the spring. Raj saying this is going to be part of the next upcoming Saudi event. Liv winning it makes only sense. Maybe that's how you crown the next women's champion for the Monday Night Raw side of things. What do you think?
I think that would be a good way to go about it. I think that would be a great way to go about it, honestly. And I just want to say, if Liv does become champion, that works out in my favor. I ordered a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt, but a Liv Morgan shirt came in instead. They're letting me keep it.
Wait, you ordered a Stone Cold shirt and they gave you a Liv Morgan shirt?
They sent me a Liv Morgan shirt. And I told them I would send it back, and they're like, no, you can keep it. So my Stone Cold's on the way. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to give it to my lady.
What Liv Morgan shirt did you get by mistake? I just want to know.
I could go grab it for you if you want. It's just one on. It's, I don't know. It's a typical one. It's got the tags and everything still on it. But yeah,
you didn't even try it on. You don't even know if it fits.
I know. I don't even know. I just got. I was like, this isn't Stone Cold.
We need a video of this for next week. For next week's show. All right. So if you're with us for the first time, guys, we are doing this show every Monday afternoon, kind of wrapping up the news that was and the news that's coming up. But it seems like we're going to get an idea of what's going on here. Probably tonight on Monday Night Raw. So, I mean, maybe this show will age differently if you're listening on the podcast or just watching on demand. But in terms of, this is a fun conversation about who should come up in the women's ranks. You kind of have this after WrestleMania when the deck kind of reshuffles in some way. So even if this injury didn't happen, we would be talking about, well, who deserves a more of a spotlight that missed it at the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania, as we kind of start the new season for WWE. People saying Piper Niven, a lot of Piper Niven talk. She beat Rhea before on NXT UK. You're right. True. Jesse Hyde saying Becky has re-signed, gets the money and the title. Well, that's another thing is Becky Lynch is one of those big name superstars that is up for a contract renewal. There was a big issue. You may have read about this. A man whose name is Dan Ventrell was the head of talent relations for WWE, and he would basically handle all of her contracts. And there was some debate about whether or not he was in good standing with talent and other people in the company. Reportedly, he has been let go from that position. They've reorganized the company in some way or another, and he's no longer with the company. And it comes amidst reports of big name people not having any conversation about a new deal when their deals are coming up, including Drew McIntyre, who's a huge name. We've been reporting about and talking about, and his deal's coming up. And here he is, you know, as persona non grata, the public enemy number one, wins the title, has the Money in the Bank cash in at WrestleMania, all these different things. So with all that going on, I don't know. But, I mean, certainly if you tell somebody, hey, you want to sign a new deal, we think we're going to have the championship on you soon. I don't know if those type of things sway somebody sometimes either because she's already had the title. I mean, she certainly didn't have the title, but understand that. So let's get into the other story. We'll talk about everything else going on in WWE. Let's talk about the backlash recently.
Let's get into
it. This happened on Dynamite. I've heard every single wrestling media outlet talk about AEW and this topic. And it was within a few days of WrestleMania wrapping up, where WWE, for the better part of the conversation, is going to dominate the conversation of wrestling. And rightfully so. It's WrestleMania. It makes a lot of sense. They had a lot of business. They had a lot of interest, right?
Yep.
Hit the like button. Hit whatever reaction you had when you saw this happen. AEW started pitching this on the Saturday night of WrestleMania on Collision in a voiceover promo. This was not something that was announced on the previous week's Dynamite when they did this rah-rah. CM Punk did a big promo. He did a big interview. He's now with WWE. Did a big interview with Ariel Helwani where he basically just didn't even call them a business. He called, you know, some people in the company clowns. He revealed everything about the Brawl-In fight with Jack Perry. He revealed different issues that he could reveal about the fight he had with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, that he was allowed to. He basically, like, he really soured on them publicly and was very open about it. The response within AEW reportedly was that they had some people that were very upset about it. Okay. Oh, yeah. You can assume who those people are. So then that happens. Then you have Edge come out there on the April, 3rd episode of Dynamite? And he does a rah-rah speech, and he brought up WWE and some people. And he's like, no, you guys saw me there. It's okay. You can watch whatever wrestling. He was very rah-rah-rah, and wrestling's great. And I love AEW, and he was kind of just trying to steer the ship on the conversation. And maybe he wanted to go out there and do it. Maybe someone asked him to do it. I don't know. Fast forward from that tone to this past week's Wednesday, when AEW during WrestleMania week started to promote that they were going to air the backstage security footage of the fight between an individual and Jungle Jack Perry, who is still absent from AEW television, though he did wrestle this weekend for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I saw the match. I'll talk about the little shenanigans he pulled there. So they aired this footage with wraparound introduction and outroduction from the Young Bucks, trying in storyline to say that maybe FTR, their upcoming opponents for this weekend's big dynasty tag team title match to crown the new tag team champions, vacant titles. This will be the fourth time the FTR and the Bucks have taken on each other. Two great tag teams. Great match. Should be a great match, but it will be a great match, right?
Yeah, it should be.
But they have to wrap around this footage and make it make sense. Now, they say nothing during this, 2 minutes? It's 2 minutes of completely silent stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have any commentary, which makes me think maybe there was a legal issue why they couldn't talk over it, because that would be them like augmenting it in some way.
Yeah.
And the footage shows CM Punk come up to Jungle Jack Perry, who just had a match with his opponent, Hook, who's standing right next to him, and they're not angry with each other at all. And CM Punk is in the shot, and Samoa Joe is in the shot. And Samoa Joe and CM Punk are about to have a big title fight to open up the card, and they're there, all right? And everyone's just fine. Wrestling isn't – we're not keeping kayfabe at this moment. It doesn't matter. Okay, so that's all out the window, because we have the Young Bucks claiming that because this fight happens, is about to happen, that they couldn't focus as executives on their match, and that's why they lost FTR. Really long dot to connect here.
Yeah.
Punk comes up to him. From what we can see, words are exchanged. It plays into most of what Punk said. There were some things he said that I think were perceptionally off in terms of the way he saw them. He made it seem in the Ariel Helwani interview. They did this too. Ariel Helwani put his side-by-side footage, and it kind of lines up pretty easy. Did you see that too?
Yeah, it does. I mean,
that got yanked down because AEW started yanking these down. And then if you go to their YouTube, they don't even have the security footage up. But they aired it on television, and they wanted people to see it, and they wanted to get it out there, and they got it out there, and they wanted to weave it into a storyline, and they get into a little bit of a scuffle. And Punk certainly is the one who physically engages the situation. Though in his description of it, with Ariel Helwani, he basically says, he quotes Chael Sonnen, famous MMA fighter, "Don't let them get close." So maybe he thought that, but he was certainly the aggressor from all intents and purposes. If that changes the conversation, fine. But if this was your justification, the footage you saw here, to fire the biggest draw in your company, CM Punk, yeah, he certainly, you could see that there were some problematic things there with him going off on somebody who went and did a match where he did some, as CM Punk described it in the conversation with Jungle Jack Perry, internet bullshit. All right. So he went out there and he said, cry me a river. It's real glass. You didn't want me to use glass in an angle to build this match. Enough of you know this story. And then Punk gets into it, shoves him. They get into it very, very quickly. There's a lot of people around them that don't break this up before it gets out of hand. That's what I'm like. Somebody should be paying attention here, you know?
Very true.
And then
very
he puts him in a front face lock. He said, I choked him a little. I didn't punch him. I choked him a little. Which, this is not me absolving CM Punk of anything. I do think there's plenty of reasons for you to be upset about him. There was a team of lawyers and Brian Danielson who said it was the toughest decision he's had to make in a while about letting him go. And then a week later, after this big show in Chicago, Tony Khan goes out in front of the live audience. And for 10 minutes, I was there, proclaims why he had to do this. And he felt threatened. And apparently you can see him off camera. He's around the corner. He kind of reaches over some monitors and Punk lunges in his direction. I don't know if he lunged, but he certainly got in. He got over the bear, over that table and yelled. And apparently Tony Khan's there. All right. But you can't see him on camera, clearly.
Right.
And Tony claimed his life was in danger.
Oh, Tony.
So I'm just trying to cover all this. And then the Bucks come out there and they have to say a wraparound thing and it looks weird. Just them with her, you know, like just them with like a monitor on like a cart case. You just, and, the setup was odd.
It was weird.
It's weird. Then the FTRs to go out there and they have to be like, why are we doing this? Like, why are we doing this? And then they somehow have to make some type of shot about shaving their backs back in WWE. And then Will Ospreay goes out there and he makes a shot at Triple H grinding on the boss's daughter. So like he got clearance to do that. And that was based off like Triple H definitely saying something that felt like a slight towards him in the press last week or whatever. You know, this was without a shadow of a doubt in my eyes the most embarrassing ratings ploy stunt I've seen in wrestling in a while. And WWE's done some awful ones. They've done hot lesbian action. They've done over the top ridiculous things. They've given away money on TV, which I don't, that's a contest. I don't think doing contesting on television is bad. That's giving you an incentive to watch the show if you're watching already, right? This was the big hook of the show. No one was talking about the show with Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. No one was talking about Edge and Pentagon having a great match. No one was talking about Okada having a big match on the show. And Okada's still a very new character there. No one talking about Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. No one was talking about them. What they were talking about was this tape that makes you look incompetent as an organization. All right. Did it make Punk look worse? No, because he already admitted to all this. Already said it. Oh, the thing I did. Here's the tape of the thing I did that you already know that I did. You know, he didn't make himself look great in the Ariel Hawaii interview. He was just honest about it. And then he said some pretty disparaging things about AEW. That's the gist of this. This felt reactionary. I'm sorry. I've been talking too long. Talking to people about this for the last 4 or 5 days. Want to get some comments, but Nick, give me your take.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It was pretty embarrassing and it felt petty. You know, I think that I see what they were trying to do. I think they're trying to stay afloat with WWE during WrestleMania week because, you know, everybody's locked on WrestleMania, all this and whatnot. But they still have superstars on their roster that they could, you know, promote a little bit better and have some good matches that they could promote instead of promoting this video of a backstage fight that happened.
It was a long segment. It's 2 minutes of like silent security footage. They couldn't do anything over, right?
Yeah, it was awkward.
But then the Punks show up on the Bucks show up on TV and the crowd's chanting CM Punk.
Yeah, I mean it's a fail for AEW if you ask me. When I was watching it, I was just like, this is getting worse.
it made Jungle Jack Perry look like a dork. Made him look like a dork.
Yep.
Made him look like a child who gets beat up by a grown man. All right. Yeah. And I don't want that for him. I don't want that, but that's the way it looked. Perceptions are reality. All right. And now you're just dipping into it at a level that is like, I just don't understand it. Now, though, then you have Tony Khan's at 29% week to week increase, and they got a ratings ploy. But here's the thing, I say this to people that do content online. Oh, you want to do the easy thing, right? That gets attention.
Right.
But when you do that, all the attention you get, is it a bad impression or a good impression? Right. Show me the impressions. Now, how many of those people can you determine got a good impression of what you were doing?
I mean, by likes, shares,
comments. Yeah.
Yeah.
The term WCW was trending. WCW 2000 was trending. Do you remember WCW in 2000?
Yes. I mean, I have to, my memory.
It was a multi-billion dollar televised toilet. That's what it was.
Yes.
Okay. And it was not a clean toilet. All right. It was a porta potty on the fourth day of Lollapalooza. That's what it was.
It was terrible.
Not good. Yeah. Not good. Okay. Jesse Hyde with this. Thank you so much, Jesse. I see you all the time. I really appreciate your comments. Want to get into this one. I don't know if there's a good one here, but I'll get into it. TK blame for airing the footage of TK gets the blame for Bushiroad firing of Rossi Star. And yeah, I heard about that story as well. I don't know if that's exactly true. People saying all these different things here. Love hearing the different comments. Want to sound off in this backstage shape. Want to get your comments here.
Yeah.
Here we go. Damon with a comment here. That video showed Samoa Joe was the only one being a true professional and acting like an adult. True. He's the one who broke up the fight. And also Punk went on the record saying that him and Jerry Lynn, who was the producer for the match and the referee, Turner, I believe it was, were the ones who kind of like went to him and said, hey, he quit. Apparently he said he quit right there. Will you come out and just do the match? You know? And other people saying CM Punk. Lol. Here we go. Jamie with a great comment here. The fact that the crowd was chanting CM Punk during the show Wednesday is great. Well, is it? It's not great for AEW, right?
Not at all. Not at all for AEW. It's terrible. No? Yeah,
backfired. If it popped the rating, it's great. But you did 819 overnight average viewers. They did well in their demographic. They were up across the board. It was the second most watched segment of the show. The first segment that was the most watched was the beginning of the show, which was Edge and Pentagon. But they've a strong lead in right there. Probably a Big Bang Theory again. But I mean, and TV ratings. I also, by the way, I've had it with Nielsen TV ratings. I don't think they're the go-to system anymore. But the thing is, you can't even put this up on YouTube.
No.
You're not putting it up on YouTube because you're going to get disliked. There's like a lot of dislikes on just they just have the wraparound footage of it. You know, they don't have the actual tape itself that they put up on their YouTube. And it's got a ton of dislikes. I don't see any net positive in this. I really, really don't. I think there could have been a more clever way to play off this heat. But the problem is, you know, CM Punk, lol, right? The payoff is that guy's over in WWE. There's no payoff with you anymore.
No. Yeah, you're putting him more
and,
over.
And I know I'm preaching the choir on this, and it seems like, oh, you're just the Chicago CM Punk guy. No, he made a mistake in this situation, I think, objectively. Other people made a mistake by starting that stuff with a guy who has a track record for just saying, hey, this is how I'm going to handle my business. And that's not how they want to handle their business. And that's who they were doing business with.
Yeah.
So there's that. You had somebody who went out there and, you know, I don't want to say went into business for themselves in Jungle Jack Perry, but he certainly started to. And then Punk did what he did, which was not great. And certainly shouldn't be something that I think somebody in his position as a veteran should do, but I'm not wrestler's court. I don't have a gavel. I don't want to seem like I'm making a judgment on anybody. But you know, all right, we're done. You know, we're done. We're here. We are. You could have made business after the first fight, after that first backstage fight with Punk injured, all in, gets into the fight with the Bucks after the big press conference, and Omega. You could have made business. You had Kenny Omega go on the record saying that him and Punk kind of buried the hatchet afterwards, and yeah. You know, he got involved in the fight. Tried to take care of the dog, and then it got more serious than that, and other people didn't want to calm down. That's kind of the way he just described it. But he said, you know, yeah, eventually I think we could have done it. So imagine, we could have got Omega Punk. Big match on paper. Big match on paper.
Would have been huge.
Could have got a triple threat. Could have got a six-man tag. Could have got Punk, FTR, Punk, and another great tag team against the elite of Omega and the Bucks. Could have got all these different things. Can't get him. Can't get them. You know, you got people that can't put, you know, their egos away from the money, you know, and just go to work. There's a lot of people involved in here. People saying AEW is in trouble. You know, they're going to have Brian Danielson versus Will Ospreay on pay-per-view this weekend. I think it's going to be a great match if you pay for it. Another thing is, everyone thinks you're in trouble. Don't they always, like, turn these around and have a great pay-per-view? Like, the pay-per-view itself is great. Now, does that convert enough people to want to watch the pay-per-view is what I'm saying. Does this make you want to watch the pay-per-view match?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to make people want to watch the pay-per-view match, but AEW always does do that. You know, they do have good pay-per-views put together. The last one that they had, Revolution that I watched was amazing. I mean, it wasn't amazing, but it had some great matches on there. And we can't get away from the fact that they do put together great matches, but that's what they should be highlighting more than this video, I think, is what we've been talking about. And I was going to watch no matter what the pay-per-view, but it is kind of AEW right now to me because of this is a little watered down. I don't know. It's
watered down. Watered down. You don't want to be watered down in wrestling. You want to feel super exciting all the time. Yeah. Read this one here from Edward G. This is an interesting comment here.
Edward says TK is an amazing wrestling fan with a lot of money and a great matchmaker, but as a booker, he could learn a lot. I definitely agree. You know,
it started a conversation. We have Steve saying here Tony Khan should hire Bully Ray to be creative. Bully Ray shares a lot of ideas and Busted Open. Some people like him, some people don't. I think he has very interested, very old school, factual based ideas that I've heard. It's interesting. He's the guy I like to hear his take on things. I enjoy it.
Well, Bully Ray offered his services too. He said he'd do it for free.
I don't know if he'd do it for free.
I know. I don't think he would.
I don't know. Come on. You're working for Tony Khan. I don't think anyone needs to do anything for Tony for free.
He wouldn't. But the offer was there.
It started this conversation where some people were saying, the buck stops with him, right? Literally stops with him. Starts with him and ends with him. You know, this is the guy who last week, in the midst of all that CM Punk stuff, let 10 guys go. Lower card guys that were under contract at AEW, let them go. And then spent, as he described in a press conference, a wrestler's salary for a year to use a Leonard Skinner song for a Ring of Honor entrance for one of the Briscoes. And I was like, why? Even if that's true, why would you say it? No one asked you. Like, you don't have to say that.
Right.
Why? How discouraging is that to anyone who's lower tiered that thinks they're in danger of getting cut and they're just fighting to get on TV and get TV time? That's in every wrestling company that's televised. There's people competing for their minutes on television.
Yeah.
And even on the lower tier shows, like a Rampage, you know, they're fighting for that TV time. And even on Ring of Honor, you have people that are fighting to get on the pay-per-view for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, there's a lot of misfires here. And you love Tony because he set up this company that's very competitive and has put on some phenomenal matches and some of the best stuff in the last 5 years and really lit a fire under WWE's ass to compete. Even if Vince McMahon wasn't out of the company, I think WWE would be trying to do some different things. And I think a lot of it has to do with AEW being a real player that has a more bigger financial war chest than Tony Khan. But it brings up the conversation. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to ask the fans. Maybe I'll ask you. You don't have to give me a straight answer on this. But people are starting to say, Tony Khan, you should finance this thing. We know you're passionate. We know you should be at the table. There's other people that are on the creative team. He's addressed this that have influence, that are agents and stuff like that, and the wrestlers themselves. But does he need to step away or change his role or add someone else in to kind of be a little bit more of a governor in this situation?
I'll say this. I think he should seriously consider financing it, letting somebody else run the whole deal. But that's all I'm going to say on that. I'll let other people weigh in on it. I'm just going to say you should consider it. Think about it, Tony.
Okay. Will Ospreay's promo was uncalled for. Triple H did not mention him. So to clarify, Will Ospreay, in the same episode, by the way, in the same breath where we're talking about them taking the shot at WWE and a big character after WWE just sold out a stadium twice in a row and all these different things, right? And just had tremendous success. This is the definition of, you know, you're the number two company that just wants to punch up at number one and be in a conversation. Also on the same show, Dustin Rhodes took on Samoa Joe in the main event. And that was interesting, the timing of that. No shot at Dustin Rhodes. Deserves it. But it was just like, oh, the timing. The timing is interesting there. But Will Ospreay, who's going to be in a big match with Bryan Danielson. I do think the match is going to be great. Two of the best wrestlers in the world. He's been cutting some good promos. He's been really shown that he can be a talker. He's not just, you know, he always had personality, but I don't know how much you show that. Promos aren't the heaviest thing in New Japan where he became a big name. He cut this promo on Triple H saying that he got his job. He didn't say Triple H, but we knew who he was talking about.
Right.
The boss, like the, he got his job grinding on the boss's daughter. And this is in response to a jab back, as he called it, a jab back at you, bro. Because Triple H was on Pat McAfee last week in the whole ramp up to WrestleMania. And he was asked about free agents and he says, if you want to take a lighter schedule and that's, you don't want to embrace the grind. I want people that want the grind. If you don't want to take on the grind, then I don't want you here. Then you're not the right fit. So, this is his response. And, he, in the same breath, in the same promo, he said, TV time is expensive. And I just kept thinking to myself when I watched it, I was like, it's too expensive for you to waste your money on this bullshit. You know, like, it's like there, what is the payoff?
Right.
What was the payoff? Like that was in an interview. You wasted TV time in the promo where you talked about TV time being expensive, wasted it to talk about someone who you're not going to have a payoff with on TV. At all. There's no payoff between Triple H and Will Ospreay to a wrestling fan who's just watching the TV show, all right? And doesn't know that Triple H said that. I had to give you all of the context to understand what Will Ospreay said in 30 seconds. I spent more time explaining to you that he said these things and why he said them and likely who he was saying them about, okay? Yeah. Reel it in. You know what I mean? Like, have someone govern this thing. You know what I mean? This is everybody go out there and do what you want, you know? Wow, somebody's saying this. This is crazy. Tony Khan will be in danger of becoming a younger Vince McMahon creatively. That's a boo. I'm just trying to swallow that one here. I'm trying to just process that. There's a lot going on in this comment. I'm going to clip this part and would love to hear what people would say on other platform. I'm going to clip that part for sure. Remind me, Nick, to clip that. Humble 85. If they are not selling tickets for AEW, more than likely, the roster's merchandise sales are down. That is not good. So you're saying like all these things affect everyone across the board. Ticket sales and different things like this. Is this converting to ticket sales? I understand the show in St. Louis is selling well. That they're going to be doing it. That's the pay-per-view, but the week-to-week television is a struggle. Is a struggle. Okay. I was at New Japan.
Yes.
On Friday, had a great, great time. I'm of the understanding that there was plenty of AEW people there and New Japan has a big relationship with AEW. And they announced at that show that AEW will return to Chicago July 3rd at the Wintrust Arena. This is 2 months before they have AEW All Out September 1st in Chicago. They have not yet announced what arena they're going to run in Chicago. They might be running the bigger United Center, which is about 20,000. That's where they ran All Out last year. That show didn't sell out, but it sold very, very well last year. I'll be interested to see this. But New Japan sold 6,000 tickets. Sold out the entire bottom row. Great, great show for New Japan, by the way. John Moxley is the new IWGP heavyweight champion, beating Tetsuya Naito. Did I tell you what Jungle Jack Perry did on the show?
You did not tell me that.
Okay.
I want to hear about it.
So this is the first time he's going to be on anything, wrestling anything.
Yeah.
Look at the timing. Okay. That airs on Wednesday. He's playing up. He's the scapegoat. So he's not. He's been on the shelf with All Elite Wrestling for months.
Yeah,
and he ripped up his contract, right? Didn't really rip it up. And he's been with New Japan, and he's been with the House of Torture group, and he's running roughshod with those guys. He's a bad guy now. He really feels like a personality. A lot more personality than he's ever had, by the way.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Right, crazy. So he's going to have a big match here I'm trying to remember. I believe Shota Unumo is who's going to take on. And Shota is actually going to get a shot at the IWGP champion. He was the young boy, if you will, John Moxley in his time there. Mm-hmm. So they go out and they have this match. And he comes out with riot protection and riot shields, like riot police. Yeah. Windy City Riot. Okay, cool. And comes out draped in the Chicago flag. In Chicago, CM Punk's hometown. Real mixed reaction. No one's quiet. There's people that are cheering for him because they just think he's an incredible smartass for doing this, right?
Right, yeah.
Has it draped behind his back, turns around, drops our city flag on the ground. Disrespectful. Gets under my skin, all right?
Yeah.
I'm from a first responder family. Grandfather was an alderman. Pick up that flag, you curly-haired little dick. I don't care. I'm not having it. And they just let it sit out there on the whole time during the match. It was out there on the entrance way. Well, someone go and pick up the flag.
Oh, man. Part of me.
So I'm loving this reaction. But he turns around, he drops the flag, and on a black leather jacket, white bold letters, it reads, "Cry me a river." And they just squared up the camera on it. And here it is, night and day. If you wanted to play on the heat of this thing, and if you wanted to get somebody to make something from this and get some momentum and be a shitty heel who's disingenuous and just wants to get under your skin and I'm the right one and you're wrong, all of the great psychology of a great wrestling heel, it was all in that entrance. And then he went out and he worked this match, and there were fans chanting "Cry Me a River," and then other chants, fans chanting "You choked out," and people were invested, and then people were caring about Shota Umino, and they were teasing a GTS, and he went for the GTS, and he couldn't land it, and then Shota hit his finisher, and Shota beat him.
That's great work. That's great work.
It is the most over I've seen him since maybe one or two big moments in AEW. It's the most over I've seen him in a long time, probably in over a year. And New Japan did a better angle off of this entire backstage controversy for a company that doesn't have weekly television in the United States, that has a very niche audience, but a great one. They sold 6,000 tickets, which is more than the last AEW Dynamite show in that same building, by the way. As far as I know from my estimations, please don't misquote me on that. Not a shot at AEW, but just make the comparison. And that's all they had to do.
Yeah.
Go out, have the flag. Punk wears the flag. Cry me a river. Talk about it. Flip the bird at the audience. Get the heat on the wrestler. Babyface comes in, beats them up. Boom, boom, boom. Everyone forgot about it. Shota Umino's a bigger star. Jungle Jack Perry's a bigger star from this. Trying to play off of this stuff in a positive way where the heat stays on someone who's in the ring.
Yeah.
I'm mad about it.
It's, I mean, they haven't figured out.
I've been doing a show at you for the last 30 minutes.
I love it. Oh, I don't care. You have a lot to talk about today. You were there. You were there in person.
I was at the show.
Yeah.
To be clear, to be all clear, I worked the show for New Japan. I did some promotional work for them and did some stuff. I had a great time. Go download a New Japan collection. Great digital card app. I was working the table for them on that. And then people saying his shirt sold out. Good.
Good.
Make some money on this. I'm a wrestling carny. Make some money on this. And here we go. Thank you. This man knows what's up. All Out confirmed for the Now Arena in Schaumburg, Illinois.
Schaumburg.
That is in the burbs. All right. Well, I'll try and confirm that with you. Jay, a great guy. Shout out to him. Jay is absolutely incredible. One of the best people in the wrestling business I've ever worked with. Incredibly smart, incredibly caring, wonderful resource for everything. You want to run an event in the Midwest? Go to Jay. He'll take care of all your logistics. I don't want to burp in the middle of giving somebody a shout out. Here we go. Let's get into this before we wrap up here. I know we're going long. This promo last week on Monday Night Raw was wild, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was very interesting. You know, to say the least, we talked about it, didn't we? We were on air Wednesday.
Yeah. We didn't do Monday. I saw this Monday, but people are still asking, what did The Rock put in his hands? Did Cody reveal this on Friday Night SmackDown? I was busy. I don't
think it was revealed.
Yeah, but apparently whatever is in his hand is supposed to lay into a big storyline here. I've heard people say it's a bead from Roman's necklace that he got as a chief.
I like heart broke him.
My idea was that it was a gold, it was Dusty's watch, and like Dusty had this watch that he had to pawn, and someone gave him the watch after WrestleMania. The Triple H and Bruce Pritchard and Nick Khan actually went and found the actual watch that Dusty pawned that had an inscription on the gold Rolex to get that back to Cody after he won the big match at WrestleMania. So I think it'd be funnier, if not funnier, more interesting.
It'd be funny.
If it was the bead, it's like, hey, you hurt my friend. This is his bead. He's no longer our tribal chief. You get a bead from his necklace. You know, I've heard some people say it's the necklace, which is so very symbolic, definitely to the Samoan tribes here. He goes, dream match, Cody versus Rey Mysterio for the world title. Yeah, it'd be fun. You could do one of those fan favorite ones here. For sure.
I want to shout out Dan real quick.
Shout him out. What am I doing?
Dan's wearing a Lions hat. I'm wearing a Lions hat. I have to shout Dan out. Dan,
shout him out.
Respect. One pride, baby. Let's go.
Okay, one pride? Is that what the Lions are now?
One pride, baby.
Oh, dude. No, whatever. I say bear down like it matters. like it's going to matter past week four. like it's going to mean anything.
I just had to shout him out. It's rare. It's rare to see another fellow Lion fan.
I gotta shout him out. I'm gonna feel bad if I don't. Steve John, here we go. Steve John shirt. Drugs? No. Alcohol? No. Glass? Yes.
Love
Steve,
it.
You just made him a lot of money. Sean Rickman saying it's probably that broken watch. You think it's that broken watch? Yeah. Other people saying it was the watch.
It was the watch.
There was some watches exchanged, some custom watches exchanged between Seth and Cody before the match. Other people saying Cody broke The Rock's heart. Why'd he say that? Because I think he's saying that my family is going to have this match. We were going to have this special, special match. You broke my heart by taking it away. Yeah. You broke my heart. I'm a multi-billionaire and you broke my heart. Doesn't anyone care about the millionaires' hearts? Yeah, all that. Yeah.
I think you're spot on there, though. I think it's got to be. He wanted the match. He didn't get it. He broke his heart, Cody.
Jamie's saying, talk about Cody's bus catching fire. And The Rock handed Cody a lighter. They haven't worked in his storyline, have they? Because that was just like a legitimate accident. Yeah, I don't know if it was just serious fire. I know he has a touring bus. I read about that, but I didn't hear anything super serious about it.
That would be a good work, though.
People saying they do not watch WWE at all. Well, thank you for watching anyway. Maybe I'm catching you up on what's going on in WWE. Noah, do you think the Shield will come back? Well, Jon Moxley signed up for AEW for a long time, and now he's busy with New Japan, so I don't think you're going to see him in WWE anytime soon. Though I wouldn't rule out him having a run in WWE at some point to wrap up his career in some way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't rule that out at all. Never say never. In wrestling, you know, we never thought CM Punk would be WWE, and look what's going on now.
Very true.
And people say The Rock, you know what it is. No, I don't know what it is. We're just speculating about what it is. Jesse Hyde saying Kenny Omega wants a WWE New Japan partnership in the future. You know what? It's interesting that we bring this up. Stardom, I know Jesse follows, he's commenting quite about it. Well, Stardom, which is the women's division, if you will, of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And they've alluded to Rossi Agawa, who is like an advisor and kind of like the liaison between the wrestlers and New Japan, all these different things. He got booted out of the company because apparently he was bringing people from Stardom to WWE, including Julia, who just signed with WWE. She's going to be in NXT at some point, probably under a new ring name. We're not certain of that right now. Right. And there's a lot of Joshi talent, a lot of Japanese female talent that's made a jump over there. And WWE just inducted Bull Nakano. They have a lot of, they've done a good job in the last five or eight years of bringing in more non-traditional English speaking talent across the board, not just Asian, but in general, of making them feel more meaningful. Now, are any of them top of the card? Exactly. You know, but Rhea Ripley's English speaking talent, not American, huge star. Drew McIntyre, European, huge star. Gunther, huge star. You know what I mean? Like, they've done a better job. And so I think when you when you talk about the possibilities of those things, that'd be great. WWE and New Japan are very, very different worlds, and that would be a much bigger deal for New Japan than it would be for WWE. But WWE hasn't toured Japan a whole lot. Apparently, they do okay there. They don't do great there, and I've heard that. But I could see WWE doing some significant things in Japan, just as a region, as it continued to be more and more international. It would not surprise me if WWE announced a big premium live event in some way from Asia. With the time difference, though, that would be really, really hard to pull off. You know, you wouldn't have the same type of audience in the United States that you would normally would have, right?
No, you wouldn't. But I think that it's, you know, it's time. It's been due. Wrestling's so huge over there. I think WWE would be doing a great thing by having a PLE over there in Asia, or, you know, or Japan somewhere. It would be great.
Just for the attraction of it. Like, there's, yeah, especially for like one of the BC events that are on the side. Like, people kind of view the Saudi Arabia shows like that. But
yeah,
some of those have turned out to be better recently than expected initially, you know, and they've turned into better shows that are more cohesive, you know. Here's one from Crom Knuckle, Moose Knuckle. He says, New Japan doesn't need WWE. They have AEW. It's true. That's another thing. They have an agreement. New Japan and AEW are going to do the Forbidden Door show together. I'm not ignoring those things, but people remind me of Max Headroom with all the freezing. I'm sorry. I didn't know the internet was being wonky today. Am I holding up well with you, Nick? Am I
single here? You're fine with me. So I don't know. That's maybe the internet isn't working.
All right. I don't know if there was a delay there. Other people saying here, who's going to take Cody's title? Who's going to take Cody's title? I don't think anyone's going to take Cody's title anytime soon. I see him having the championship for a significant period of time, don't you? Unless he gets
injured. Yeah, I think he'll hold it down at least till next Mania. I could see him being the champ going into next Mania. I don't know who's going to take it off of him at the moment. I think there's a lot of stories to be told after the story's been finished. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see which way they go with it, but I'm excited for it. This is the new chapter in Cody's story here, and I want to see Roman Reigns come back when he does, and I want to see him get his rematch. I want to see him get the rematch. I wouldn't mind. I know they've already ran it back twice at WrestleMania. I just want to see Cody maybe pin him again. Just to let the people know. Just to let the
people know. Wow. I mean, that's... Just let him know. Just let him know. One more here from Crom Knuckle here to wrap up. Does MJF return at the Dynasty pay-per-view to cost Roderick Strong and his international championship, starting an angle destroying the Undisputed Kingdom faction? This is the faction that formed to basically reveal themselves as the people under the hoods that were the devils at the end of December and cost him the AEW championship. The Undisputed Kingdom faction has some great players in it, and Roderick Strong and Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. Adam Cole is still injured, so there's limited things you can do with him. Wardlow, but they just don't feel as big of a deal as they did in December. They just don't. It hasn't clicked over completely. A lot of the stuff they've done feels like multi-man noise in some regard, where it never really distills into a hard storyline where you can see your big notes, if you will. You know, it feels like a lot of stuff crammed in there. And there's been some goofy, ridiculous sports and any things with it, which I think are good to levity. But nothing that, for me, like, and you have great players in it. You ever see people that are just really, really talented in a storyline that doesn't, like, it isn't moving the needle, you know? And so I don't know if MJF has to come back and do that now. I think it'd be a bigger deal if he did it on TV, by the way. I think having him come back at a pay-per-view is a fun, hey, here's a bonus to the people that buy the pay-per-view. Hey, you bought the pay-per-view and we give you an MJF return. So yeah. I don't think that hurts either way, but I think it's storyline wise, it'd be cooler if I was watching TV and MJF showed up out of nowhere. That's just me. Cause you're gonna have a lot of people that just watch the TV show. So thank you guys so much for checking out the show. I want to know what you guys are thinking about what's going on. What do you think about the issues with AEW? What do you think about what's going on in WWE post WrestleMania? I want to hear your thoughts. Thank you for sticking with us on all of the different issues. If you just tuned in, we did talk earlier at the beginning of the show about Rhea Ripley and her injury status as it stands as we're broadcasting to you right now. Also, subscribe to our podcast feed. You can subscribe to our podcast feed on any of the different apps. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. Just search Sports Key to Wrestling. All of the audio with Vince Russo, Bill After, Teddy Long, Dutch Mantel, they're up every week. We have a delayed episode this week of Smack Talk with Dutch Mantel because he is busy with some different projects over the weekend, and we had the kind of layover of WrestleMania. So we've been dealing with that. So that's going to be dropping on the feed as well. Fresh interviews up, by the way, with Rey Mysterio. All right, Kevin Owens, Lyra Valkyrie. Those are all from WrestleMania. Natalia revealing her wrestling crush, which is interesting. Those are up on the Wrestle Binge YouTube channel. Plenty of that audio as well up on our podcast channel as well. Nick, if they want to follow you, where do they go?
You can follow me on the X or Twitter and Instagram at Nick_Harkson. That's NICK_HARKSEN.
You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Kev Kellam. That's KevKellam. I will be on stage doing the jokes. Doing the jokes is Friday night at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago with Blackout Diaries, where I have to tell drinking stories. And I will tell a story about me, I won't say drunk, but definitely influenced, and how I yelled at children at a wrestling event, and how I was encouraged to yell at the children by the children's parents. I will tell that story this Friday night, Blackout Diaries, 10 p.m. in Chicago, Illinois, at the Lincoln Lodge. By the way, Roast Battle Chicago, the show I'm on, you can watch that on YouTube, by the way. Go check out Roast Battle Chicago. We have a Patreon. We have all that good stuff. I've hosted a bunch of different shows on our tournament. We just crowned a new champion. You can watch that on Patreon for just $5. $5. Go watch it. All that good stuff. Thank you guys so much for supporting everything we do. Sports Key to Wrestling is available on all the different apps that you're on. Snapchat, we're on it. Instagram, we're on it. MySpace, I don't know. We have to check on and see if we're still on MySpace. But if we are, we hope we would be in your top 8. Thank you guys for watching us here on YouTube. Bunch of new videos we just dropped on YouTube. I know you did some voiceover videos. I did some voiceover videos. We just dropped a new one recently about why WWE never turned John Cena heel. All right. So that is up. And you did one about CM Punk and The Rock having some backstage issues.
Yes.
So go check that out. That's up now on the Sports Key to Wrestling YouTube channel. A lot of content. Don't tell me there isn't enough. We got it for you. And also, when you're watching all this wrestling, debating about who should be doing what and what should be doing that, and this billionaire should just pay for the wrestling and not book the wrestling, blah, 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 blah. What should we do, though? We got to do this one thing. What is that?
Enjoy wrestling.
Yeah, get a better internet connection, apparently.